It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
Listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the moon, on the moon, and from the moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Howell for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. International partners are an essential part of lunar exploration. One of these partners is the Canadian Lunar Research Network. Today, we talk with Gordon Nosinski, who is leading the research at Western University. His work includes rover testing and field camps. It's a model for how NLSI collaborations work outside of the United States.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Nosinski. I'm curious, how did a group of Canadian researchers become a part of the NLSI?
It's one of those interesting confluence of various things that got us together. So it was in 2008, I think I'm correct, that the NASA Lunar Science Institute was formed. And it turned out earlier that summer we actually had a visit by the director of the NASA Ames Research Center, Pete Warden, to Western. And he mentioned that this institute was going to be formed. Many of us here had known about the NASA Astrobiology Institute that had been around for several years and on which the Lunar Science Institute was modeled on. And so we got a bit of a heads up that this was going to be formed, heard that they would be open to having international groups participate. And basically what happened over that summer was I kind of led the charge and got in touch with various people in Canada that I was aware of doing lunar science and got them together. Put together a proposal to the NASA Lunar Science Institute, and it was actually the first proposal they had from any group, and they accepted it, and we actually became the first group to be part of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, even before the U.S. team. So it was kind of a nice thing for us to be first off the mark.
Congratulations. And why is it so important to have international agreements such as this one with NLSI?
Planetary science, I think even more so than other fields of science that we have, is science and engineering, is really international in nature and multidisciplinary. And so this has enabled Canadian scientists to partner with U.S. organization, U.S. scientists, and increasingly other international members of this NASA Lunar Science Institute. Literally, we sit at the table with the funded U.S. teams, and we sit alongside teams from the U.K., Germany, and other countries around the world. It's enabled particular, I'd say, students from not just Western, but from across Canada to attend events and participate in the NASA Lunar Science Institute activities. And I must say that the NLSI, from day one, has been incredibly opening and welcoming of international partners.
That's wonderful. And one of the products of the NLSI agreement is a field camp that's going to be held in Sudbury, Ontario. And that's actually somewhere around the same area where the Apollo astronauts trained for lunar geology back in the 60s and 70s. So what specifically is your group going to be working on this fall?
That's correct. Yes. So actually, this has been a long time coming. We did run a similar field camp in Sudbury last fall that was a bit of a prototype. And that built off a previous field camp that David Kring from one of the NLSI nodes in Houston ran to Meteor Crater. And so the goal of these field camps was to get students, mainly graduate students, but it has since been opened up to postdoctoral fellows, to get them to actually see meteorite impact craters in the field. So they're not just studying and looking at things through the pages of a textbook. And so obviously Meteor Crater in Arizona was famous prototypical small impact crater just over a kilometer across. And indeed the Apollo astronauts also looked at Meteor Crater before they embarked on their missions to the moon. Sudbury, as you mentioned, is one of the other sites that they visited. Sudbury is a completely different place than Meteor Crater. The crater was over 200 kilometers in diameter, and it's close to 2 billion years old. And so it provides a unique environment for students to look at the rocks, the types of rocks, types of features that the Apollo astronauts saw on the surface of the moon and that we're increasingly seeing in satellite images of the moon. And so basically, the Canadian Lunar Research Network and the Center for Planetary Science and Exploration here at Weston, and I co-lead both of these, we are organizing this field camp for the NASA Lunar Science Institute in partnership with them. NLSI is funding U.S. students to attend this camp, and we should, like last year, have some students from Canada, and last year we had a student from Germany, Austria, and Japan as well.
That's truly international. And what will the students be doing during their time at the camp?
It's actually called a short course and field school, and so impact cratering is the focus for this, like the Meteor Crater Field Camp. The reason is that it is the dominant geological process on the moon, but it's not a process and an area of geology that most students get in their typical undergraduate and graduate degrees. There's only a few probably universities in the world where you can take an actual course in meteorite impact craters. And so what they'll be doing is pretty much a crash course in impact cratering. So we'll spend a bit of time in the classroom at the beginning, probably most of the first day, and then mornings of a few of the other days, basically learning the basics and the theory behind how impact craters form and the products and the processes. And then basically, literally, we can walk out of where we are holding the lectures in Sudbury and they can see shatter cones 5-10 minutes away from where we hold the short course. And so shatter cones are the diagnostic indicator of an impact event that you can see without the aid of a microscope. And then the rest of the field school is spent mostly outside. There'll be partly me taking them around various key sites around Sudbury where they can see everything from shatter cones to various breccias formed by the impact and a 3-kilometer thick layer of rock that was completely molten by the impact event. Following on from that, they then will carry out some research of their own, actually. So a bit of a research part to the field school where they'll be going out and measuring and studying shatter cones all around the Sudbury impact structure.
That's quite something that you're able to see the field research right after you're talking about it in the classroom. And that's something else that you were working on earlier this year in Quebec, actually, because I actually ran into you when you were, almost ran into you when you were testing some rover prototypes at the so-called Mars Yard behind the Canadian Space Agency. So what were you working on then?
One of the things that I like to do, and I think that benefits the students immensely, is really experiencing things firsthand in the field. For geology, it's something we're kind of used to. I mean, it's often where students learn the most, where the light bulbs go off. I taught a second-year geology field school here at Weston for a number of years now. I'm always amazed, and the students are always amazed, about how things come together when they're actually immersed in this field experience, having spent a year looking at things in PowerPoint presentations and textbooks. And so with this so-called deployment at the Canadian Space Agency, we built upon that, and not only did we have geologists and scientists there, it was bringing together engineers and scientists and conducting a simulated mission to Mars. And we were able to, with this partnership with the Canadian Space Agency, take almost 30 students from Weston, from Queen's University, University of Toronto, and York University to Montreal for the week. And we had a mission control set up inside the space agency and a group of people in the simulated Mars terrain. And this was all part of an NSERT Create project that I lead that is a partnership between the 6 Canadian universities. And the goal is bring together engineers and scientists and to bridge Earth and space exploration.
And where do you see the NLSI collaboration going in future years?
Well, we're quite excited. I think, as you know, the NASA Lunar Science Institute will soon be morphed into the Solar System Exploration and Research Virtual Institute, SERVI. So I think as of this fall, the NLSI will cease to formally exist, and it will basically continue as this expanded research institute that will be not just the moon, but asteroids and the moons of Mars, Phobos and Deimos. It's nice that the current agreements with the NLSI will continue. So the Canadian Lunar Research Network will become part of this new institute. And so we're already having some discussions about expanding our focus to small bodies, near-Earth asteroids. And then I'm also, and many others in Canada, are actually investigators on these big U.S. teams and proposals that are currently in review at NASA as we speak. And so we could see participation kind of two different ways for Canadians, both through this official grouping with the Canadian Lunar Research Network and individually with many of us being involved in the big U.S. teams. And I think that actually speaks to what's happened over the past 5 years now, where initially I don't think there were any Canadians on these first U.S. teams, but now, by way of having this Canadian Lunar Research Network, we see many Canadians participating with these proposals that I think should be announced in October, November timeframe.
Best of luck with all of that, and thank you again for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Richard Drum. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.